This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, we're coming in.
Bismillah. Allahumma salli ala.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and you're live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim coming to you live from Perth, Western Australia. It's 7 p.m. here, noon in London, our normal scheduled time each and every Wednesday, alhamdulillah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you and I khayr in this dunya and akhirah, that Allah counts us amongst those whose dua will be accepted in the upcoming day of Arafah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins us with the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the plains of Arafah, asking him for his forgiveness in the upcoming years. Allahumma ameen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns the Hujjaj safely, soundly, home to their families, reborn as if they are newly delivered into this world after such an incredible experience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the spiritual upliftment, a return of their wealth, an increase as a consequence of their obedience, of fulfilling the order of Allah and answering the adhan and invitation of our Nabiullah Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be from those who are able to fast the day before and the day of Arafah, inshallah, that our sins will be forgiven for it for the previous year that we have lived and the upcoming year, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an ability to fulfill the sunnah and the obligations that are due to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. It's an honor, alhamdulillah, to be in these 10 blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, the days that are the days of Allah azza wa jal, the days of worship of Allah, of fasting and of increasing our dhikr and our adhkar, the day of reflecting upon the beauty and the engagement of those who are in the state of Hajj in the coming next few days, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And I wanted, inshallah, while you call in to this live call-in session, some of your questions do come in on WhatsApp, and occasionally I may check my phone, inshallah, to receive some of the new calls that have been sent to us. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us the fulfillment of being able to answer questions, inshallah, that are mutually beneficial. We have our first caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Yeah.
Yes, sister. How can I help?
Yeah, Sheikh, what act of ibadah should one do when they are in their menstruation cycle on this blessed 10 days? And should I go to the masjid to perform Eid when I'm in my
position? Jazakallah khair. That's an important question. I'm sure it's on the minds of many sisters. May Allah make it a sadaqah for you, that those who benefit from it, that the return is rewarded to you. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. The question's an important one. What are sisters able to do while they are in their menstruation, especially in these honor days or in the days of Ramadan, where they're not able to fast or able to do their normal obligatory or voluntary namaz and salah? So there's a number of things. The first of them is the reflection and the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes we underestimate the power of dhikr. We underestimate the simple thought of making wudu, sitting in the place that we would normally pray in our home, and continuing to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to reflect upon what it is that we are saying. Alhamdulillah. And I want you to kind of think with me as you're hearing it now. Alhamdulillah that I'm able to ask Allah for forgiveness. Alhamdulillah that I have a roof over my head. Alhamdulillah that I have a job that is waiting for me tomorrow. Alhamdulillah that my parents are still healthy and well in the world. Alhamdulillah that I've been blessed with those who love me. Alhamdulillah, I've been given a new beginning in life. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And then afterwards, Subhanallah, glorious is Allah. Subhanallah, how He saved me from this problem. Subhanallah, how He assisted this person. Subhanallah, how it is that I seek to have khayr and that Allah facilitated it. Subhanallah, there are things that are missing in my life and glory of Allah will provide it for me if I maintain my faith. To have this deliberate thought, to have this conscious dhikr is one of the greatest elements of ibadah. And Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, the remembrance of Allah, to be constant in the remembrance of Allah, that is the greatest aim for us. Number two is to give in charity. Give in charity with your body. Help someone who's in need. Give charity by driving someone to the doctor, assisting someone who maybe needs somebody to take them shopping because they're elderly or weak or unable. Assist someone in a physical sense. Number two is assist. Give charity with your kindness of words. Give charity with your sight. You know, you look at someone and reassure them that things will be okay. Give charity with your smile. And تَلْقَ أَخَاقَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِقٍ, that you meet somebody with a cheerful face. Give charity with your pleasant demeanor. Give charity with your forgiving someone who wronged you, that you are able to hold them to task, but you do so knowing Allahu Ghafurun Rahim. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, I want Allah to forgive me. I'm willing to forgo something owed to me, seeking Allah. Be charitable in your sadaqah, in your physical sense. And that's why Al-Qurban is a very important part of each and every one of our Eids, right? The Qurban that we give in Ramadan is zakat al-fitr. The Qurban that we give now is meat to our homes, to our families, our neighbors, and to the poor of our communities. Number three, sister, is to be from those who attend the gatherings of knowledge, who listen to things online, who benefit from what you're watching now, to read from the books of hadith, and to read from the Quran. So when I say read from the Quran, this is a contentious issue. The four madhahib, Imam Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i, and Ahmed, they held the opinion that a woman should not read from the Quran, from the Mus'haf in and of itself, in her menstrual cycle. However, many of the other ulama, in contemporary and in ancient scholars' circles, and even from the time of the Sahaba, there was no hadith of the Prophet ﷺ explicitly saying to a woman, do not read from the Quran, do not recite from the Quran. There is nothing reported in the tradition of something so great. The Prophet told us not to fast, he told the women not to pray, but there's no hadith where he said, don't hold the Quran or don't recite. All of that is coming from an inference, from an understanding of a verse and other statements. And therefore, if you recite the Quran from your memory, or if you recite the Quran from being in front of you, if you take the stricter opinion of not touching it, or if you recite from the Quran from a web service or an app, or if at the very least you listen to the Quran and read along in its translation, benefit yourself with the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. There is enormous reward in it. Those are simple ways to gain reward. As for whether a Muslim woman should attend the Eid prayers, the answer is yes. The Prophet ﷺ answers this question. He said, bring your men, your women, your children, even the women who are in their hayd, and when the time of prayer comes, they should sit away from the line so they don't break the line. So don't be between two women who are praying and then you just sit there. Rather, sit at the edge, sit at the rear, sit on the front, sit somewhere where you're not going to be in the view of others that causes them to not be able to meet and complete the lines of the prayer. May Allah accept from you. May Allah assist you. And there are many other things that you can do to earn great reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. Hopefully those are some helpful hints. Assalamu alaikum, caller. We have another caller on the line. Yes, sister. How can I help? I can.
What did you, Sheikh? I'd like to know if you could use your zakat money as for qurbani. Is that possible?
No. So the zakat money is separate to the qurban. The zakat money should not be mixed as something that is qurban, which is a different act of worship. So we don't mix the acts of worship in that sense, inshallah.
Okay. So Okay, thank you.
Think of maybe more helpful as well. Think of your zakah money as no longer yours once it becomes an obligation for others to receive it. So it's as if you're in debt looking for the person to pay it to. So you wouldn't be able to use it for something for your own benefit in that sense. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, inshallah. Allahi barik.
Ameen. Ameen.
Salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So those are really wonderful questions coming from our two sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. If there are any other questions, please do jump on the line. I look forward to having your calls online, inshallah. I wanted to speak about the rituals of Hajj and what it is that you will witness the Hujjaj doing on satellite TV, on your web services, watching the live progression of the Hajj. So today is day number seven for the Hujjaj, Wednesday. Is day number seven. Tomorrow, inshallah, Yawm al-Khamis, the day of Thursday, the 7th of July, is going to be day number eight. Now, I want you to kind of look at your right hand. So if you put your right hand in front of you, these are the 5 days of Hajj. I'm going to help you remember everything you need to know on Hajj. Every time you look at your right hand, make dua for me because you will remember Hajj through this easy way of looking at it. So on your thumb is the eighth day of Hajj. Day number eight is the day of Tarwiyah, the day of irrigation and watering, the day of rest. This is when the believers will leave Mecca or they will arrive from wherever they're arriving towards Mina. They're going to set up their camp, they're going to see their tents, they're going to leave Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and they're going to put on their ihram and head towards Mina, inshallah. And as they get to Mina, they're going to be in a state there where they are getting ready for the biggest day, which is day number nine, the day of Arafah, Al-Hajj Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ says. So this little thumb is the beginning of Hajj. The first day of Hajj is day number eight in the calendar, the Hijri calendar, the eighth day of Dhul-Hijjah, which is going to be tomorrow, Thursday, inshallah. Now, on that day, you don't fast, you don't go out to do extra tawaf. Everybody kind of heads out towards Mina. You want to collect your strength. You want to make sure that you bought your medicines. You have your extra ihram. You brought your energy bars. You've made sure that you're recovering from dehydration. You're watering yourself. And back at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they're watering their animals. They're getting everything ready for the next day, which is the day of Arafah. In the Fajr prayer, inshallah, after they pray Fajr, the Prophet ﷺ headed towards Arafah. And Arafah from the place of Mina is about 7 to 8 miles away, depending where the camp is going to be. So it's a considerable walk. And that's the reason the Prophet ﷺ did not walk. He actually rode a camel. So it's a false understanding to walk from Mina to Arafah. It's an exertion of the body, especially in these summer months, that are unnecessary. And if and when I was a group leader, I would always deter people from that. We're going to continue, mashallah, that journey. It's good to take the buses. It's good to arrive in Arafah a little bit around the time of Dhuhr. So the Prophet ﷺ began the day of Arafah at the Dhuhr prayer. He did not cross over, or he arrived, and the day of Arafah begins officially in that sense after Salatul Dhuhr. We'll continue with the journey of Hajj as we continue with our callers. We have two callers on the line. The first caller, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, I've got two questions. One question is about with the salah.
Yes.
Do I do compulsory, or if a person forgets, is it still valid your witr?
Salatul witr is valid. Salatul witr is valid without dua al qunut. Dua al qunut is a sunnah, and it is not compulsory. So the salatul witr is valid, inshallah. And your second question, uncle.
Inshallah, thank you. Yeah, second question is, if a person forgets something in the salah, and then you have to do set the sujood, you know, at the end.
Yes.
But if a person forgets to do that, then where do the what has he to do again? Or do he have to repeat the salah again, or
Okay, so sujood for a mistake that one made in their salah. Is that the question? What if somebody forgets to make the sujood at the end?
Yes.
Okay, so it depends on the nature of the mistake. So if somebody, for example, they prayed Salatul Dhuhr, instead of four rak'ah, they prayed three, then they remembered, oh no, I need to stand up and do the fourth, and they got up and did the pillar, which they did the fourth rak'ah, they did do it, and then they did their tashahud at the end, the tahiyyatu lillah, and as-salat li Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and then at the very end forgot to pray, to make the two ruku'at sujoodu sah, their salah is valid. And if they totally forgot and left the place of prayer, they don't have to come back and repeat the salah. The sujoodu sahu is not something that is from the rukn of the salah. That means the salah would be ruined if it was left without. What is important is what was left out of the salah was actually fixed. So if a person prayed a four rak'ah prayer, three, but did fix it, and then at the end forgot to make sujood sahw, their salah is valid, inshallah. Hopefully that clarifies that issue, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. We have another caller. Alhamdulillah. May Allah accept from all of us, Allahumma ameen. We have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help? Yes, sister.
Can I speak in Arabic?
It's better in tafaddali. I'll translate what you say into English, though, inshallah, and I will answer in English for the betterment of everyone.
Yeah,
So the sister is asking, she has a normal sadaqah activities that she does. She supports different initiatives. And now her mother and her biological brother are in need. There's a problem that has happened. Is she permitted to kind of put on pause the normal sadaqah activities she's doing and focus her attention to her mother and to her brother? And the answer, without any doubt, is to assist dhil qurba, those who are nearest to us in terms of our relationships with them. It is more important and more necessary for us to assist those who are a part of our family before and while also assisting others. So if there becomes an urgent need for one's mother, if there's an urgent need for one's father, for one's brother, for somebody who is min al-aqarib, those who are near to us, they then have an awlawiyya. They have the essential priority in that regard. And this is a Quranic mandate and a Quranic context that Allah shares with us in regular places. Walillahi alhamd. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the harm and assist in all difficulty. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaj'al min kulli diqin faraja. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma yassir lahum. وَاجْمَعْنَا وَإِيَّاهُمْ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ اللَّهُمَّ آمِينَ. We have another caller on the line. Yes, sorry, I didn't know you were still online. Yes, تفضلي.
يا شيخ
اللهم آمين. اللهم اجعلهم من أهل القرآن الذين هم أهلك وخاصتك وجزاكم الله عنا خير الجزاء ونصرنا الله وإياكم بصالح الأعمال اللهم آمين.
بوركم.
We have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. لو سمحت اتكلم بالعربي وعايز حضرتك بس ترد عليا بالعربي.
تفضلي تفضلي حضرتك.
امبارح وانا بتصحر عادة لقيت ميعاد الاذان على قناة اسلامية 55 دقيقة.
نعم.
بالنسبة في قناة ثانية ايمان و54.
نعم.
فأنا شربت مية والأذان كانوا 54 دقيقة.
نعم.
مش عارفة
لا ما يهمكيش الموضوع ده خالص يا حاجة؟ الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال حتى لو القوبة زجاج في إيديك والأذان بيأذن اشرب، يعني أتم الشراب. فهذا الأمر لا يعني ما تخافيش منه، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يتقبل منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال وصيامكم تام بإذن الله تعالى. Our dear sister, she was asking about her fasting. Allah yakrimik. Our dear sister was asking about her fasting. She said that there were two different times. One was 55 minutes, one was 54 minutes, that she assumed that she was drinking for her suhoor 54 minutes according to one calendar, and then 55 minutes. So she saw the 55 minutes as being the time of imsak, and she continued to drink, and then later noticed that another TV channel or another place had it for 54. Is the fasting accepted? And the answer is yes. In the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said that if the ina, if the cup is in your hand and you are drinking, you are eating, and the adhan begins, or you are in, you know, nearly finished, then consume what is in your hand, consume what you are drinking, and your siyam is valid, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept her siyam and our siyam, and to accept from all of us, Allahumma amin.
WhatsApp.
We have a couple of WhatsApp questions, inshallah. Let me check my phone. This is something unconventional for me. I don't normally like to fiddle with my phone. All right, we have a couple of questions, alhamdulillah. I know Allah forgives all sins without exception, but sometimes I think I will not be forgiven because I have not met the conditions of tawbah, such as maybe not being sincere enough with my repentance, maybe not regretting it enough. This is from the waswasa of the shaitan, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes it from your heart, my dear brother or my dear sister. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you certainty that the moment you have regretted your mistake, that is tawbah. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi, "An-nadamu tawbah," regret is the essence of repentance. Meaning that the moment you've reflected on an action, you said, I'm going to ask Allah for forgiveness, that is the essence of tawbah. Don't second guess your sincerity thereafter. In fact, by you second guessing it, was I sincere enough? That's a sign that your tawbah is genuine and true, because you are worried of your spiritual state from Allah. How joyous you should be and how happy you should be at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. Allah says in the Quran that my mercy encompasses all things. And your mistake, my dear brother, is a shay. My dear sister, it is a thing. It's one of those things that Allah's mercy is more expansive than it. So have no fear, have no doubt. The mercy of Allah has granted you acceptance and forgiveness. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We have another question. Du'as for a pregnant woman for safe delivery. What are some of the du'a that can be made? There's no particular du'a taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but some of the essential du'a that I would recommend to you is, Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma rzuqna dhurriyatan tayyibatan salihah. And that's something that you find in the Quran. Also the du'a of the mother of Maryam, which is found in Surah Ali Imran, where she says, "Inni nadartu laka ma fi batni muharrara, fataqabbal minni innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim." Oh Allah, you know, I have dedicated what is growing within me in your service. Oh Allah, accept this child. You are the all-hearing, the all-knowing, oh Allah. Those are du'a that are beneficial, inshallah, in the context, but nothing is greater than asking Allah for strength. And the word Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd is one of the great opening ways of us finding assistance in times of hardship and difficulty. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than all hardship we face. Allah is greater than all delivery pain. Allah is greater than all worry and stress. Allah is greater than what we fear in the future for our child. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. And to Allah, let there be all praise. We are thankful that Allah has blessed us and has allowed us to carry on this journey this far. May Allah yutammim lakum ala khayr. May you have this child delivered in safety, in comfort, in ease, and in happiness. Allahumma ameen. We'll take a short break, inshallah, and return soon with the second half of Islamic Q&A with your brother Yahya Ibrahim. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا
اللهم صل على نبينا محمد. MashaAllah, for those of you who are following online with me on my social media streams, I'm going to kind of go through your questions. We like to always remain productive. May Allah accept from all of us. All right, we see a question. I can't fast because I'm breastfeeding. Is this okay? Yes, of course. If you are unable to fast due to breastfeeding, especially on the days of Arafah, there is no haraj, no problem. It is a sunnah fast, not an obligation. Can I make dua on Arafah in my own language? Absolutely. The essence of dua is to communicate your needs to Allah and to magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Magnify Allah with the words that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Magnify Allah with the translation of those words. And magnify Allah and ask of Allah in the language that you are able to pour your heart out, that you are able to turn to. I want you to consider that all of the dua that we have in the Quran of the prophets before our Nabi Muhammad ﷺ, that we say in Arabic, they were not spoken in Arabic, but spoken in their language. So when Prophet Ibrahim makes the famous dua that you and I made, he says, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءِ. Oh Allah, make me and my family from those, my children from those who are regular in their prayer. Oh Allah, accept my dua. When he said that, it wasn't in that same Arabic language. When he says, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Oh Allah, forgive me and my parents on the day of people are given their accounting. That wasn't in Arabic. So make that dua, inshallah, in the language that befits and that you are able to communicate your needs to Allah Azza wa Jal. All right, let's look and see a few more questions, inshallah. Bismillah. Can I help my husband who is bankrupt by giving him my gold zakah for a year? And the answer is yes, absolutely. And this happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man found himself bankrupt. There were some bad business deals that had occurred. And his wife was wealthy. She has her own estate. She has her own wealth. And she asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my husband is the most needy of those who are around me. Is it, can a wife give her husband zakah? The answer is yes. Now, of course, a husband cannot give his wife zakah because the maintenance of his wife is her haqq, is his duty for her and upon her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for this zakah. It is better than to give it to somebody who is strange, who will not benefit from it as your own family will. May Allah accept from you. Allahumma ameen. Right, we have another question. What can I do if sometime we have doubt like Ibrahim? No, hold on a second. Prophet Ibrahim never had doubt. Prophet Ibrahim, you've misunderstood the ayah. Where Ibrahim asked Allah to show him the birds coming back to life. قَالَ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Is it because you do not believe? قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ خَلْبِي. I believe and I want my heart to be at ease. What is being asked about is not whether the birds will come to life or whether Allah will show him how to raise the dead. He is asking about how can I show this to others? How can I show this to others? So this ayah is right after the verse where the Nebuchadnezzar brought a person, killed him. And he said, I am like God. I can give life and I can give death. So Ibrahim says, oh Allah, how can I show him? How can I show him that only you, oh Allah, can bring the dead to life? He can kill, but he can't bring the dead to life. Do you not know how to do it? And Ibrahim says, I don't know, Ya Allah. So Allah says, okay, take these birds. And Ibrahim demonstrates it. So Ibrahim had no doubt in Allah Azza wa Jal. That is a mistaken understanding of that ayah. Jazakallah khair for asking. He said, show me how you make the dead come alive. No, this is not as you understood it. So alhamdulillah for asking. I hope I've clarified that for you, inshallah. May Allah make it a blessing for us. So the general question you're asking, how can we clear doubt when we have an issue, when there's something that's troubling us, how can we clear our own doubt? So there's three important steps. First is knowledge. So ask people of knowledge. Just like you've asked this question, I've clarified something for you. that you may not have known, you might not have read on your own, and it's something that gives you a little bit of clarity. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, ask those who are remembering of the virtues, remembering of the deeds, remembering of knowledge, if you are not mindful of those issues yourself. Number two is that the doubt that you have in your heart, don't ask for its solution from those who do not have its knowledge. And sadly, many people, they turn to the internet, or they go to a chat, or they try to find the right YouTube page, or they ask somebody just an off the, you know, somebody who doesn't understand the issue. And they ask them, and it causes more confusion
one minute.
For them. So be careful with that. Number three is to ask Allah for guidance from any doubt, to ask Allah to guide your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the one who approaches Him with a sincere heart, that they will find recompense and ease at the end of it, inshallah. Let's try to take
seconds.
We're going to go back to our Q&A with Islam Channel. You can send your question through there, through the live link, inshallah, islamchannel.tv. You can send them through there. Bi-idhnillah. Bismillah.
Okay, we're coming in, Chair.
Jazakallah khair.
You have a caller when you come straight to
it. Inshallah.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and you're live.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. To Brother Yahya Ibrahim with the second half of Islami Q&A on the wonderful vehicle of Islam Channel. Coming to you live in your homes all around the world. I am here from Perth, Western Australia. It's nearing 7:30 p.m., 12:30 in the afternoon, London Standard Time. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us khayr and barakah. I know that there's a couple of callers on the line, inshallah, and a few SMSs, WhatsApp messages of questions that we will try to deal with, inshallah. We have a caller on the line, I believe. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hello. So I had a question quickly. So I'm wearing the job part-time headscarf, and I know they used to wear it before. I'm 27. I find it very difficult. Sometimes I wear it, sometimes I feel self-conscious and I don't, and that makes me feel guilty. So I need your advice.
And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a steady heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open to you the doors of all prosperity and happiness and ease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to acknowledge its importance in your life. And I know you wouldn't have taken that step and moved towards something that is such a magnificent challenge. I know deep in your heart, you know, this is the right thing to do. So one of the things that I will say to you, my dear sister, is reflect upon the Almighty, the one who you are doing it for. And if you kind of put your heart in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you put your aspirations with Allah, if you put your career goals with Allah, if you put your relationship goals with Allah, if you put your financial and economic well-being with Allah, if you put your health and your future success with Allah, and if you allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to nurture that for you, then know that it requires you to plant the seeds that will bring you that success. Seeds like regularity in prayer, like being more charitable, like being more empathetic and caring and altruistic to others, like changing some of our attire and being more conservative. All of those are steps towards the greater self that you and I can become. And there's so many things that I need to work on in my own privacy, in my own life, with my own wife and children and my family. And those are all, you know, things that kind of lead us along the way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala steady you and upright you. And may you find joy at the end of the journey. Allahumma ameen.
Inshallah, ameen. Thank you. Please keep us in your prayers.
Allahumma ameen.
It's very difficult. I do pray five times a day. I do charity. And I just started recently doing hijab business as well. So I feel very guilty when I can't wear it sometimes. I just have to fight it.
الشيطان وتابعك.
I know in your heart, sister. I know in your heart that there is there's this longing for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it greater for you in your heart than the worry that you have. Allahumma ameen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your help. Thank you.
Allahu barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam. We have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أنا اتصلت بحضرتك على السحور لو سمحت.
اتفضلي حاجة.
وأنا بصلي قيام الليل وأنا بقرأ القرآن كل يوم أقرأ سورة جزء من سورة الكهف بالليل.
نعم.
فكلمة قلتها ثاني خالص مش من القرآن. عايز أعرف دي هل صلاة ملجية ولا لا؟ أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وترى الشمس إذا طلعت
الله يبارك فيك يا حبيبي. So I'll just try هترجم الكلام وبعدين نرجع لك إن شاء الله. So our dear and حاضر إن شاء الله. Inshallah. One of our guests, she's asked in Arabic. She said while she was reciting Quran and she tries to lead herself in prayer, she fumbled with one of the words where she changed one of the letters of the words, and then it came back to her that later on, I think I mispronounced this word. Does that negate the acceptance of my salah, or is it just something that a mistake that I've made in my prayer? حضرتك إن شاء الله لما في two levels of خطأين في القرآن. في حاجة اسمها لحن جلي ولحن خفي. اللحن الجلي ان الواحد غير المعنى خالص وده عمدا, يعني ان هو in their recitation غير ولحن في القرآن بشيء ان صرف القرآن عن معناه. واللحن الخفي ان واحد تلفظ بالقرآن لكن المعنى او سياق الكلام مفهوم. فحضرتك في التلاوة الجزئية دي ممكن الآية دي لا تثابي على تلاوتها, لكن بقية الصلاة وبقية التلاوة مقبولة بإذن الله تعالى, مقبولة بإذن الله تعالى, عشان ده مش تعمد, مش لحن جلي, تعمد إن واحد بيصرف القرآن عن قوله. So I was explaining to our aunt that there are two levels of mistakes that a person can make in the reading of the Quran. One is where they intentionally change the or pervert the meaning of a verse or a word or a letter from one meaning to the other. That would cause their recitation to be incomplete and incorrect. The second is that if they are reciting and inadvertently they made a mistake, they mispronounced, their tajweed was incorrect, their accents on the letters were wrong, that is forgiven. Now, if the intention was to change the meaning, then yes, the salah would be invalid. But since there is no intention in that, the Prophet ﷺ says to us, "La salah bila fatiha," that the basic extent of reading the salah is Surah Al-Fatiha. Anything extra to that is from the sunnah of the salah, and therefore the salah is permitted. But perhaps that ayah or that word, you may not receive the reward of the reading of every letter multiplied by 10, alif, lam, meem, alifun haruf, lamun haruf, meemun haruf. In this way, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept her prayer and our prayers and to give us light and guidance. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli lahumma ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakallah khair. That was a wonderful question. It's an important question that does affect many of us sometimes unknowingly, inshallah.
WhatsApp.
We have a few more questions, mashallah, on our WhatsApp service. There was one question as well that I thought was a timely one. How can we busy ourselves during the day of Arafah when we are not in Arafah? What are some of the things that we can do? So on the day of Arafah, consider yourself in Arafah. What would you be doing in Arafah? So the people in Arafah, when they enter, the Prophet ﷺ began after Salatul Dhuhr. He joined Dhuhr and Asr prayer together and prayed them shortened, two rak'ah for Dhuhr, two rak'ah for Asr, and then he gave a sermon where he reminded people just for a few minutes. It wasn't long, it wasn't 10, 20, 30 minutes. It was a short sermon that was perfect in its length, inviting people to reflect upon their families, upon their home, upon their economic means, upon how they treat each other, and upon mercy that they show to each other and turning to Allah, seeking His mercy. And then he began to make dua. The greatest dua on the day of Arafah, The Prophet ﷺ said that was spoken by people before us, by those who made Hajj before us, is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. There is no one who is worthy of worship but Allah. Only Him. He is the only one worthy of it. La sharika la. He has no partner, no associate who can ever grant him or provide him anything that he would need. Lahu al-mulk. To Him is all of the dominion. Walahu al-hamd. And for that reason, only He deserves to be praised and elevated. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And it is Allah alone who is capable and able to do all things as He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that way, I want you to think about that dua. Why is that dua so important? Because it allows you as a believer, when you make this dua, that you turn to Allah asking Him, knowing that He's the only one to help you, the only one to assist you, the only one who is worthy, therefore, of your acknowledgement, the only one worthy, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only You do I worship, only You do I ask help from. If you busy yourself on the day of Arafah with that mindset, inculcating it in your heart, placing it as a part of your being, making this reattachment to Allah, it is only You, O Allah. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. I've come to serve You, Allah. O Allah, it is only You. Even if I am here in Perth, you're in London, you're in America, wherever you are in the world, make your mindset singular and focused in your relationship with Allah. La ilaha illallah wahdahu. He is the one, the only one who deserves this service and worship. So make that the intent of your heart. Number two, fast the day of Arafah if you are able. It is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And because the day of Arafah is on a Friday, we know the Prophet ﷺ told us not to fast Friday on its own. So all of us will be fasting Thursday and Friday, inshallah. You should fast Thursday and Friday, inshallah. If you're too weak, unable, for whatever reason, you can't do 2 days, then fast Friday on its own, and Allah, may we pray, will accept it. But you will not get the sunnah of doing the 2 days, meaning in honoring the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number three is to increase your dua. Akram al-du'a yawm Arafah. The Prophet ﷺ said that the most noble, the most honored, the most accepted dua is on the day of Arafah. And the more you turn to Allah in dua, dua of the two types, dua al-thana, the dua of magnifying Allah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله العلي العظيم لا إله إلا الله رب العرش الكريم الحنان المنان ذو الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم. Magnify Allah, extol, praise upon Allah. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Continue this dua of magnification of Allah. Number two is make the dua of talab, of mas'ala, of su'al, where you beg of Allah what no one can give but Allah. You ask Allah, Allahumma inna abidu, banu abidu, banu ima'ik, nawasina biyadik, nazil fina hukmuk, adlum fina qada'uk, nas'aluk Allahumma bi kulli ismin huwa lak, sammayta bihi nafsak, anzaltahu fi kitabik, allamtahu ahadan min khalqik, aw istathartahu fi ilmi al-ghaybi indak, an taj'ala al-Qur'an al-azima rabi'a qulubina. ونور صدورنا وذهاب همومنا وجلاء أبصارنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا. دعاء أو الله أو الله أو الله in Arabic, in English, in French, in whatever language fits your ability to communicate to Allah. Oh Allah, grant me an opening from every hardship. Oh Allah, remove me from my death. Oh Allah, help me against my smoking. Oh Allah, assist me to be patient and restraining my anger when I hear something that displeases me. Oh Allah, bless my wife, bless my children, bless my husband, bless my family. Oh Allah, increase our rizq. Oh Allah, provide from us. We don't know where to expect it. Oh Allah. Oh Allah, open for us a doorway from the hardship that we're in. Dua and dua and dua and dua. Especially as you near Salatul Maghrib. Especially as you're getting to that final moment of the day where dua becomes more scarce. So spend your day with Allah. Spend your Friday after Jumu'ah with Allah. We have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Hello.
Yes, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
I've got three questions.
Sure.
So the first question is, my auntie was telling me that there's this child born in Africa, and this child has special powers. It's giving people water. And it's
okay, I'm going to stop you there. No child has special powers. No child. No, it's not
shirk. I'm telling her. She wants you to tell her.
Okay. This is not from our deen. Nobody has special powers. Nobody is born with anything special. This is all a way of captivating hearts, of blinding eyes. This is the sihr that happened to the people of Musa. Be careful from people who call you to anything other than the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. On the day the Prophet's son died, ﷺ, Ibrahim, his son died, the sun and the moon had an eclipse. And the people said, oh my goodness, subhanAllah, the sun and the moon were sad at the death of Ibrahim. The Prophet ﷺ stood on the minbar, was upset for his son, but more upset that people would make this statement without truth. He said that the sun and moon are the signs of Allah. They do not change in condition for the birth or the death or the health or the prosperity of anyone. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always called us back to Allah. The essence of the day of Arafah, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Please, my dear aunt, my dear sister, convey to your mom that these are charlatan people. These are people who are calling to other than the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be distant from them. Even if you see good things from them, be aware that this is not the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I'm trying to tell her, but she's not listening. That's why I have to call you. Maybe you are. Maybe you can explain to her.
Yes. You have another question, inshallah.
My second question is, when praying, I'm explaining to my aunt, because she has to put her forehead and her nose to the ground, but she's saying she's not sure about this.
The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrated by an Imam al-Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when we make sujood, it is on seven bones. The first bone, al-jabin, which is the forehead and the bridge of the nose. So this part of the forehead. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also in Bukhari, he made sujood once and it started to rain. And the rain caused the sand to become muddy. So when he put his head up, there was mud that was on his forehead and the bridge of his nose. So we know his nose touched the ground, his forehead touched the ground. The other two bones, so this is one, is the palm of the hand and the heel of the hand. So you should not have your hand up. It should be firm on the ground. Two and three. And then the knees should be on the ground. And the balls of the foot, the bottom part of the foot, your toes are curled up, so that the balls of the foot are there. So the feet, the knees are three and four, the hands five and six, and the jabin, the forehead with the nose, should be on the ground. With this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, who said to us, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," pray as you have witnessed me pray, or people told you that I prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
My last question is for myself, actually. I wanted to find it. It's female discharge. Can I pray? Will that break my wudu? Can I pray? It's normal discharge. It's not like anything in terms of like any color. It's just normal female discharge. Will
that break my So the normal female discharge is not considered najis. It is not something that is necessary for it to be removed if one noticed it at the end of their salah. However, if somebody is, as they're getting prepared for the salah, as they're cleansing themselves, they notice that there is a discharge and that it is reddish or a red, bright red in color. It's not the period blood, but it's a bright red color. They should make a complete wudu before they pray. So if you notice that, then it should be a fresh wudu with every salah if it is a natural type of bleeding. But if it is a clear liquid, then it is something that is not something that requires a fresh wudu, inshallah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sheikh.
You're welcome. Allahu barak fikum. Hopefully that has been helpful. Those are three important questions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from those who seek to turn away the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ from the orthodoxy and the sunnah that he left us upon. There are some people who at times who will call us to send them money or to tell us, look at the things that I can do. Anyone that tells you, I can do something, know that they are not upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Anyone who says to you, no, I don't want your money, this is something that Allah gave me as a gift, say to them, you are a fraud, because Allah does not allow somebody who is gifted to call to themselves or for other people to call to them in this way. This was not the habit of the Sahaba, not the habit of the Tabi'een, who are far better than anybody alive today or into our future. May Allah protect us. Allahumma ameen. We had one more question that we will take, inshallah. From our WhatsApp messages before we bring our session to a conclusion. Is it haram to go to a place for entertainment where they have haram items like alcohol without the intention of doing it? It is best to avoid places that are not conforming to our culture and our ideals, inshallah. It is best to avoid any place that does not fulfill our culture and our ideals as Muslims. If there is a necessity, if it is something where we have to, you know, in a shopping center, there will be places that sell this and that. Those are things that are necessity. But to go into a pub so that you can have hot chips while other people are drinking is not acceptable, inshallah. Is it permissible to combine both the niyyah of Qurban and Aqiqah? This is something that is done by some. It is acceptable, inshallah. So if you've been blessed with the birth of a young child, you can make the Qurban as something that you offer the Aqiqah with it. So it's something where you feed people for the Aqiqah, but it is also with the meat of the Qurban. This is acceptable, inshallah. This year, Arafah is on a Friday, and people say that you can't fast on Friday alone. Should I fast Thursday and Friday? Yes, and that is correct. It doesn't mean you cannot fast Friday on its own. It just means you will not fulfill the sunnah of fasting the 2 days. So the Prophet ﷺ specifically said, if you are going to fast Friday, fast the day before it or the day after it. Because Saturday is the day of Eid for most of us, inshallah, you will not fast on Saturday. You will fast Thursday and Friday. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from you and I, gathers us all in khayr. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أيها الذين آمنوا